Welcome to the Watchman Weekly End Time Exposé on Bible Prophecy. Get ready for teachings that will empower you for dominion as an end time believer and equip you for the times and seasons in which we live. You are now listening to the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you seeing what is happening all across this continent now? Started with Cameroon. You know, when I used to move around, and I used to meet people from different countries in the continent, and some gentleman from Cameroon would proudly tell me Cameroon is the only country in Africa that has not had a civil war. So there were two countries which were known for stability at all costs. Cameroon was one, the other was Tanzania. Now, all of them, I don't know what happened. But you know, I'll tell you this, that you've not seen a dictatorship until you see a dictatorship of a system, not of a person. It's easier to deal with the person. It's not easier to deal with the system. Now, I realize that in countries like Tanzania, it's all entrenched in a system, and they put, like, the person whom you are angry with is just a figurehead. They can be put and removed at any time. The system was set in place, and it is the one which controls everything. It has nothing to do with, it has very little to do with the person who is at the head of it. So you get angry about somebody, a certain woman, and what, she was just put there by the system, and she found it there, and she gets her power from it, and it can take that power away any time that it wants. And you see now, if you study, there is a thing like that, because Tanzania is a very unique country, because there's absolutely no tribalism. None whatsoever. You find somebody who tells you, I'm of this tribe, but they can only greet in their language. They have tribes, but they are almost as homogeneous as Rwanda. Yet they have so many tribes, but those tribes mean nothing, because the people who come from there don't even speak them. They speak Swahili, and the whole country speaks Swahili, and nobody even knows their language. They don't. Children grow up, all of them speaking Swahili. And it's what the system did that. Some of, you see, the thing about systems, some of the things they do are good. Actually, sometimes a lot of the things they do are good. But then they take out the human element. And for some reason, God prefers to deal with human beings. He has always preferred to deal with human beings, with all our flaws, with all our weaknesses, with all, everything. He, for him, he prefers that he deals with the person. So anyway, the system made it impossible for people to speak their languages, because if you came and said you're from this tribe, they would usually send you to work in another place, and you lose connection with here. So it created a very almost homogeneous society there, which has its advantages, as do all systems. But you see, when God wants to do something, he uses people. And when human beings want to take something away from what God is doing, they create a system around the person. Because somehow systems give human beings a bit more comfort. Because a human being can be capricious. 1 minute they are here, the other minute they are there, and what? And yet with all those issues, God will say, no, he deals with people. And then now they try to come and create a system, and then usually the system kills the person. And then the whole move dies, and you have some functionality. And you see, as human beings, people have functionality. For instance, if you go to Europe, you have a system which functions, you have trains which move on time, you have, everything is functioning properly. But it's taking away a lot of the human aspect. And once the human aspect gets out of the way, God also goes out of the way. I'm not saying that God goes. I am saying that people cease to see God in their lives. Because, and then the next thing you see, people seem to be developed. But actually, look at their lives. Their lives are very empty. I remember the first time I went to some of those places so many years ago. And at first you're blown away by how everything functions properly and so on, and you're used to the confusion of where we are coming from. And but then you look at the lives of people. Now this is how, and people have to understand, this is how the system of the Antichrist also works. Like, you look at people like a person, then you see those people, like you see on TV, it's almost impossible for somebody to have God in their life, because something sucks it away. There's a systemic thing that sucks that God thing out of you slowly by slowly. Then you find that at the end of the day, all you have is the order. And then you find people, they are staying in small houses, where you climb stairs, wooden stairs like this. Some of you have been there, you know what I'm talking about. In a small, tidy space. And then they have a bathtub like this, which is like a big whatever up there, which is for a bathroom. And it's everything is tight, and it's tight. But they are developed. And then one day I got to know that it is all a facade. When a gentleman who went to study from there, and he's from here, his father is some rich, not even very rich man, but a rich guy who has a grand house somewhere here in Buziga, or somewhere there about. So the guy is looking through his pictures, and then these people see a pure, powerful house. They say that, whose house is this? They say, this is our family home. They said, this home does not exist in Africa. But there are so many, it's not even one of the best. It's like even one of the ordinary ones. You go and ask all these accountants in ministries who are stealing money, they have better homes. But now for them, I realize this thing is all, their life is all based on a lie. So you have your tight place there, like there is no real entertainment. You move from concrete to concrete. You wake up, take a bus, go to work, and the only entertainment they have, that's why they have to go and watch football on Saturday. Because that's the only thing that they do that brings them pleasure. So they go and watch football. In the evening, they almost all go to the bar to drink. With that system, you end up like that. You see, you don't understand the things that we have to make our lives richer here. Until you go and see that somebody has been squeezed slowly. So from work to the bar, from the bar to home, on the weekend you go and watch what? Football. And football is some kind of escape and something to, and people even get depressed off season because there is nothing. That's the thing which, took away their. Then once in a year when you have enough money to go on holiday, once in a year you'll get money and go to Asia or to Africa here, where people say, "Oh, Muzungu, but you're broke as there is nothing. You have nothing. You have absolutely nothing." And you see, when you come here, your Muzunguness means something. For 1 month in a year, you come here and somehow you're somebody. And you convince yourself, there are people who are suffering in the world. We are not. You're the one who is suffering. Okay, I have space in my house. I have what, I have many things to entertain myself. Like, you see, you're squeezed. When I watch football, it's out of choice. Not because I need some kind of escape. I remember there was some security guard where I used to work somewhere, when I used to eat a lot of, some restaurant I used to go to eat a lot of times. And I was doing sports, and this man always had the radio on him. He was a football fan. And, he spoke very good English and what, in a different world, in a different country, he would be working a decent job, but he was this security guy here. And you could see football was his only joy. You see, when he's there, excited, Manchester, those days Manchester would win. I don't know where he is now. Things that are easy. But you find the guy, then the guy says, yes, we won. What? And you look at him, you study him, and you see how life is tight, but at least he has some coward. Some happiness. Manchester what? Won. Then you tell me, you come later, you don't like Manchester. You don't like Manchester. Then when you sit there, when you come there, you take like 10 minutes to discuss football with him. And it is such a joy because, of course, he knew you are, he sees you on TV and what, talking sport. So you sit there and you discuss football, and it is such a joy. Eh? But I know you don't like Manchester. And you're saying an intelligent man and... But you see, life can squeeze you in a place where things which are leisure are an escape for you. Anyway, my point is, let me go back to systems. Now, those people with their systems, you realize after some time it squeezes you, and then it takes away, what the system does is it takes away human decision making. I saw it, for instance, here during COVID. People who live where there are systems which work had no choice over whether they take the vaccine, whether they do what. They have no choice, by the way. They really, really have no choice. But they have one thing. They have a free medical, so you can go to hospital and they treat you for free. But what they do to you is what? You see human beings eventually rebel against systems, as it is happening there in that place. A lot of rebellion going all over the place. Because human beings want to see people. But when people come, they want to see a system. And let me tell you, I remember there was a guy who was very talented in terms of anointed, financially anointed, an anointing of finance. And there are people who have an anointing of finance. They only have to step out and do something, and money will follow them because it's an anointing. Okay? And all these things come in anointings. There's a guy I know who used to, like when it comes to praying to people to speak in tongues, he even just touches them. Like everywhere, and in taxis, where, anywhere, he would just do it. And you see, it is just God-given. Doesn't have to be in any place. He says, do you want to receive the Lord? Okay, I'm going to pray in tongues. Bam! Then the guy, and the guy gets filled in the spirit there and then. So anyway, this guy had anointing for finance. And he was doing forex trading. He was making a lot of money for a lot of people. But he had a lot of weaknesses. Classic, a lot of weaknesses. So he wasn't the best person that you'd want to say, my money is with that guy. But then he was making money for people. But now, here is the thing. He was crazy. He was a giver. So he would go and get crazy amounts of money and give to his man of God. And the more he would give, the money would come. And it was him. Now, eventually, when the money started becoming so much, people became jittery. Now, here is a classic how it happens. People became jittery and said, but you see now, this man, he's the one who decides everything. We should have a board to regulate him. He can go off the rails. What if he does something which is irresponsible and so on? And so they somehow, and because the money was a lot, and the investors, even if they were getting profits, they were a bit anxious. So you go to invest, he says, bring your money. So people come and put their $50,000. He says, I'm going to be giving you this much. And he gives it to them. But then if you're looking at the guy, and that's all you have, you see. Now, then they begin and put a system. They said, no, we cannot accept this. So they put up a system to regulate him. They remained with the system. The anointing went. The money went. Whew. Everything went. The guy became ordinary. Totally ordinary. Now, that's how it works all the time. Because God does not deal with systems. He never has. He has never dealt with. That is human wisdom. God deals with a person with all his weaknesses. You will choose somebody and say, this is the person. And God is with him. And there is nothing you can do about it. With all the weaknesses. And they will come with weaknesses. Take an example of God wants to save Israel from the Philistines. And he chooses Samson. Now Samson comes and with all his Samsonness, everything about him is, you know. But he arrives and he's the one who God has chosen and he's the one who has the anointing. Now, 1 minute he comes and he got some Judges chapter 15. Let's read. And I show you how that wisdom works and then how typically the human wisdom. Start from maybe like verse 10. Then it says that, and the men of Judah said, why have you come against us? So they answered, we have come up to arrest Samson, to do him as he has done to us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock of Etam and said to Samson, do you know that the Philistines rule over us? What is this you have done to us? And he said to them, as they did to me, so have I done to them. This is after I had destroyed their crops and what. And he told the children of Israel, you tie me and give me to the Philistines, but don't kill me yourselves. Because this anointing that I have works against Philistines. So it's okay. Just promise you not kill me. Give me to the Philistines. They said, we are not going to touch you. So they tied him and gave him to the Philistines. But they said, we have come down to arrest you, that we may deliver you into the hand of the Philistines. Then Samson said to them, swear to me that you will not kill me yourselves. So they spoke to him, saying, no, but we will tie you securely, deliver you into their hand, but we will surely not kill you. And they bound him with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him. Then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that is burned with fire. And his bones broke loose from his hands. He found a fresh jawbone. Somebody say a fresh jawbone of a donkey. And reached out his hand and took it and killed 1,000 men with it. Then Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men. Verse 16. So it was, when he had finished speaking, that he threw the jawbone from his hand and called that place Lehi. Now, typically, what would happen today, if people heard that Samson used a jawbone to kill 1,000 Philistines, people would not see Samson, they would see the jawbone. And then they would go and get the jawbone and start studying it. Take it to a laboratory. What is special about this jawbone that it killed 1,000 people? You see, the Bible is specific about that. That's why he said Samson threw it away. After he had finished killing them, he just threw it away. It was a fresh jawbone of a donkey. In other words, there was no history of it doing anything significant before. Okay, but he used it, and after using it, he threw it away. Now, the classic human thinking would be something about this thing. Then they study the jawbone, and they, you know, say that this is how, you know, use a jawbone. Then people try to replicate it. Then you find years and years afterwards, people are, you know, there's an expert on jawbones telling people, because it once killed 1,000 people. But they want to take away Samson and the anointing. But the jawbone is nothing. It is just that man God chose to rescue the people with all his things, with all his weaknesses. One night he's with a prostitute, and the Bible puts all that, makes that all that clear. He went to sleep with a prostitute. He obviously had issues with prostitutes, and that was his downfall. Then they come to arrest him, and he gets bored. And he goes and plucks out the doors of the city where they're waiting outside. In the morning when he's coming out, we jump on him. At midnight, he just went and pulled out the gates of the city and carried them and went and threw them the other side and walked away. Now, like, when God wants to rescue a person, he wants to rescue the... And it is still him, even when they cut out his eyes, even at his death, he had the ability to say, God, give me my strength one more time and let me avenge my eyes on these Philistines. And God gave it to him. And now I want to tell you that that's how God is. So when God is moving, he moves through men. And men have weaknesses. And when the devil wants to attack the move of God, he will get other men to point out the weaknesses of the man who God has chosen. And then they say, no, let's create a system. And then the anointing goes. The anointing vanishes. And you remain with your system. And that's how it always is. And it's so inbuilt inside humanity that we don't even know what we are doing. We don't even know what... People don't even understand why they go in that direction. You see in Numbers chapter 16. Number 16. God, there is Moses. And everything is on one man. One man. He's leading an entire army of people, of about 3 million people. And it's on the shoulders of one man. Now that is so irresponsible in today's thinking. How? You are just one man. Just one man. That's how God does it. And that's how he prefers it. And you're not going to change him. Now, but people have always tried to want to change him. Number 16. People have always tried to want to change him. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, and the son of Korah, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and the son of whoever, those guys, Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. Okay? And they gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, you take too much upon yourself. For all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourselves above the assembly of the Lord? Now that is human wisdom versus godly wisdom. They are not all holy. They are not. God has chosen one, and there is nothing you are going to do about it. Now you see, they are trying to say, let us come up with something which is predictable, something which we can, you know, we can depend on, because we can't depend on a man. How so? So you mean all of us are supposed to depend on a man? If you want to know how many of you have like that way of thinking, I know how it works. There was a time when we just started the ministry, and we had a number. So I would use my we did have a ministry account because the ministry was still small. So I'll tell people to deposit their seed on my personal account. And I could see how people would get so jittery. Why should we put it on your personal account? You go and put it on your own. Like I am the minister, God has just, like if you are not comfortable with that, find something to do. You see, like if you don't understand that that's how God does it, that he will glorify you because you've chosen to move with the person he has chosen. You see, I decided that I don't fight with God's hierarchy. If God has placed somebody above me, then I have no business. Like, I don't fight his hierarchy. Praise the Lord. That's how you develop in this system. You don't fight God's hierarchy, because he has his hierarchy and he says, this is the person, this is the one who are put above you. Now, if you think that, like these people, that Moses, why do you take all this authority upon yourself? Now, I realized what happened. People became uncomfortable giving. But I'm telling you, those who gave, who were okay, perfectly okay. Actually, I remember there were a few people who seemed to be even more comfortable depositing in my account. Those are the people I know who had big testimonies. Because that's how God works. He does not work systems. He never has, he never will. He works people. He chooses one person and says, Samson, you have issues with prostitutes, but you're the one who is going to what? Rescue Israel. And God has chosen. And there is nothing you're going to do about it. The anointing is on that man. And he rescued Israel for the time he was, you know. And then you see in the scripture, you notice that God also documents the weaknesses of all these people whom he chose to show you that they are not supposed to be special apart from the fact that he chose them. He doesn't expect... They are not sort of gods. No, they are human beings. But they have the anointing of God. And it is in, you know, glorifying God's hierarchy that actually you get glorified. Anyway, my point is, so you see, all these systems that people come up with and which apparently make people comfortable, they are not of God. Now, when Jesus said that I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, when people think about building a church or building an organization or building a dream, there's something they have in mind. And what they have in mind is not what God has in mind. Okay? When God wants to build something, he will choose that one person and start teaching that person his ways. Now, God was building this whole system all the while Moses was in, you know, the wilderness and what. God is building. He's building Moses. Now, when God says, I will build my church, it does not mean a congregation. It is different people who God has selected to do different things, and they are the ones who have the anointing to do those things. And God is building them up individually, teaching them his ways. This is how you are going to accomplish my mission. And it happens every time, through mistakes, through what? And God is building, but you think you want him to build the way you think human beings should build. And he does not. So somebody is being trained. So by the time somebody comes up, now like Moses, even when the congregation was too big, now here is God's way. When the congregation was too big, and Jethro, his father-in-law, says that, no, you can't take on all this for yourself. Moses went and spoke to God. And God said, get me 70 men, and I will put the spirit that is upon you on them. In other words, I'm going to separate you into 70 so that all those people can do what you can do. He does not say we build a system. No, the system is Moses times 70. God's system is always a man. You will never exceed that. Like a man. Praise the Lord. Now, if you are offended by that, you will miss God all the time. All the time. Because he will never fit into these systems which men make. And when he says he's building, he actually is building human beings. And it might look like there's nothing happening. But there is a lot happening. Now even in your lives, like he's building. One day you stand up and you're in a position, and God has prepared you for that position. All along, he was building. But there was nothing that anybody was seeing. You were there, you hit a wall here, you learn a lesson, hit a wall here, you learn a lesson, hit a wall here. God is preparing you for something. He's building as far as he's concerned. As far as you're concerned, nothing is happening. As far as he's concerned, he's building. Then eventually, you find somebody who was ordinary, and then God lifts them up and puts them on a pedestal. And everybody is like, no, 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 no. If they acknowledge the person, they will say, let's create a system so that we are comfortable. But I saw that whole thing. You see, the other thing in Tanzania, let me tell you, that woman has very little to do with the things which are happening in that country, although she's going to be blamed. It is all systematic. Everything is, you know, there is a whole... That's why I prefer a kind of dictatorship here, which we have, because it's built on a person. This one, as soon as you get rid of the person, there is no system. But that one, the person who built it, died a long time ago, but it's still doing what? Systems are dangerous. Eh? So Uganda is better. For us, we know who what? It's a person. Regardless. Now, you see, you think that the devil will not put, when he wants to fight the revival, he can't say that, no, 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 I'm putting this person. Because that person does not have the anointing that the other one has. So he will just put a system. Then he will kill the anointing. And you know, when the Lord was teaching me this, he used very, let me tell you, also God can use things which, you know, because I was seated somewhere, and then I was meditating. And when I go into the meditation, I usually become half asleep there, you know, basically dozing on a chair, but really in meditation. Then the Lord started showing me that in every area, God gives something, just something for, you know, for humanity, in everything, in music, in literature, in art. But the example he gave me was in football. Now he told me, I didn't think you'd even speak in this language, this kind of thing. He said, look at somebody like Messi. You cannot replicate him. He's like the jawbone. Nobody is like, he said, God gives, because football is a sword, he wants you to be entertained, so he will give you somebody who is like the best. You cannot become Messi. You can't. That is given by God. Now here we have a coach. Can anybody be like Messi? Like, there are things which you have to acknowledge. He's like some, that is God who gave it to him. And he was showing me that the world has tried to replicate. That this one is like what? You know, this one is like what? But those are world made. Those are system made. Now even let me, like, and the devil wants that, because when something comes from God, even in things which are not God, you see, some people don't understand that God wants to minister to our souls. That's why he will put comedians. Somebody will speak and you laugh, and that ministers to your soul, because laughter is good, you see. Now, have you ever seen a comedian who is like that, you know, who is from God? Where you see this is, you can't replicate this. This one is from God. When you listen to them, you live even when you're happy. And your soul is happy. Then the system comes and says no. Then to get you people who are not funny and try to make them comedians. And then the people will come and say like they are pooping in your ears. You live when you're feeling disgusted. That, you know what I'm saying, eh? Somebody sings and you feel mad, like you're disgusted. And now that works for the devil because it vexes your soul. Let me tell you, when your soul is at peace, you worship. When somebody sings beautiful music and, you know, it uplifts your soul. And it doesn't matter what the music is about, even when it's about love, you worship. Now the system comes and takes away all the talent. And when they see talent, you know, there are those music systems which come, and when they see talent, their work is to get the talent and and say, if you're a talented musician, we are going to turn you into a Hollywood star. And then you become an actor. But when people see you, they are vexed. Their spirit is not uplifted because you are out of your lane. And God put lanes. Everyone has a lane where they are supposed to be. Have you ever seen the difference between a career teacher and somebody who was just catapulted there by Embera? There are people who are teachers, and when they teach, like something is real. They, like God gave them the ministry of teaching. You see, I'm not talking about teaching in church. I'm talking about teaching in schools. And previously in those years, many people who are career teachers actually ended up as teachers. So some of them educated us. And you could see they had a certain love for children. They had a certain love for education. They were groomers. They would groom children and so on. And, you know, but now the people who went to school in this age, you have somebody who is supposed to be something totally different, but because of the circumstances of the world, he ended up teaching and he's so gloomy. He's angry and he's making everyone angry. And the person who is supposed to be a career teacher is a security guard. And yet if that person stood in front of class, the children would be happy. Let me tell you all these things. I've even seen people who are career police people. Career police. And you see the person is the real police person. Just by the way they behave themselves and what. And you see, this is somebody who found their calling. Praise the Lord. Until the system comes and does what? And messes them up. When I was in the media, there are people whom I knew who were such tremendous writers. Like such tremendous writers. Then they go and make them editors. And they can't edit. And then you've lost him. You've lost his talent. Anyway, my point is, we are dealing with the system. As we get towards the end time, God lifts up men. You know that scripture which says, in Obadiah says that saviors will arise. You know that scripture? Saviors will arise. People who God has given a specific gift and an ability to do something, who are being groomed right now. And God is building his church. And the church are those people, not what people think the church is. They are those people. That is who the church is. And when they come out, you realize that you can't touch them. You can't even, they have been prepared. They are a gift from God. You know, I was watching, Arsene Wenger, the former Arsenal manager, talking about one day when they played Barcelona and Messi was there. He said that we started the match, we even scored first, and we're at the home of Barcelona. Then the Barcelona fans started shouting Messi. They just started chanting his name. Something took over. It was like Samson. The guy scored four goals. Like, and he was as if he was bored. He got bored of scoring goals. Like Arsene Wenger said, it's as if something took over him. He said, in halftime, I was consoling my players, saying, you did nothing wrong. You played against an alien. Now, that's Samson kind of thing. Where he said that, then he said something. I remember that time he said something. He said that when you play Barcelona, you're playing two teams. You're playing Barcelona, then you're playing Messi. Because he said you can beat Barcelona, but Messi beats you on his own. Now, there are things which you cannot replicate that at all. Like, I think he comes, you just have to remind him who he is. So the crowd started chanting, and they were losing. They just started chanting his name. They says, hey, okay, you guys want me? Okay. And it says he switches on something. Now, this is Samson sort of thing. You know, some of you think it's only in scripture and in what? It is not. And it's in glorifying what God has done that you get the best out of it. Praise the Lord. But if you try to put it down like Moses, that all of us, you know, why do you take on this whole thing upon yourself? And why do you do what? You know, and so on. Then you lose what God has done. Anyway, you take too much upon yourselves. Upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy. No, they are not. God's movement is based on him and one person. You know, the church in America became very lukewarm because they went and brought systems, these sort of systems. I was listening the other day to a man of God, and he was saying how he fights that thing. Because, and you see the systems, especially in Europe. I remember that some Nigerian pastor who has churches of his denomination in UK, a man of God, he went to the UK one day and people brought money, you know, seed for him. He had visited his, one of his churches in the United Kingdom. And the whole system, everyone was so angry. The British were so angry. They said he's not allowed to come back to this country. Because how can you get money and give it to a man? But you see, you ask them, you ask yourself, what happened to the people who gave the money to that man? Okay, granted, most of them were Nigerians and so on. But then you just have to follow what happens afterwards. Then one day I saw a British man who deals in real estate, and he was saying that he cannot, that if they call him and say somebody wants to view property, he says if he realizes the person who wants to view property has an English accent, he doesn't even get out of bed. As in those ones don't have money. Then they asked him, I was seeing this on one of those channels, they asked him that, so what accents do you look out for? He said, if I hear a Russian accent or a Nigerian accent, that one I jump and run, because those ones will pay you cash and you get your commission immediately. So you go and tell the man this house is 300 or 400 or half a million pounds, and the guy will pay it, bam, downright, and you get your commission and you go. Now a British will say, I'm going to the bank, then I'll pay over 30 years. He says, those ones, I don't waste time. Now, but you see, Oyedepo, they came and they poured money in front of him. That man was Bishop David Oyedepo. They came and poured money in front of him. Oh, the British says, what? How did this African come and get money? They are used to getting money from here to the other side. They are not used to getting money from the other side to here. Okay? But now the tables are going to turn because of the anointing. Because if God has chosen this person, what are you going to do? There's nothing you can do. It is a spiritual thing. And your system which you set up, in which Africans are supposed to be at the bottom of the ladder, God is not going to respect it. Then he says, this is the man. Give him money, you become rich. Don't give him, you will remain broke. And then the system is set. God's system, I mean. And you can quarrel all you want. Eh? Praise the Lord. Now, that thing of, let me tell you, that when people have that system mentality, I remember somebody used to, one of my first partners, used to give me 300,000 a month for my radio show, Watchman. You could see she was very uncomfortable giving it into my hands. She would prefer that. So I would look at her, you know. So after some time, I was wondering. I even prayed about it. I said, but God, this person doesn't seem to be, you know, growing financially. There's like a government job. She's there. Nothing has changed. He didn't tell me anything, but I just started studying her. And I realized she was very uncomfortable giving money into my hands. Let me tell you something. It's more lucrative giving a person than a system. I'm telling you. And I know, I have practiced this for a very long time. I know what to do. And when I am in a tight spot, I will go. I know who God wants me to give money to. And I will make sure that that person spends that money there on themselves. That is the principle of Elijah and the widow. give me food, let me eat and get satisfied. And so shall your barns not run dry. That principle works all the time. All the time. One day when they told me we were in debt, and they were threatening to throw us out when we were having this fellowship in Imperial Royal, I said, okay. So we need urgent money. Okay. So I called the person whom God led me to give. And I said, I want, where are you? And I found him having dinner at Serena. And I said, this is the perfect setting. So I gave him my money and it paid for his dinner. That very evening, I got a bountiful harvest. That very evening, that's how it works. Because God honors men. He puts the anointing on men, never on systems. Now, that thinking actually has kept people back a lot. And I know it. It has kept people back a lot. Now, if I told you, put money on my account, Joseph Kableta, you become jittery. Put it on yours. Huh? Praise the Lord. Man, anyway, so what we're seeing here in Africa, by the way, man, is so interesting. In Cameroon, we had a scenario where the person who was counting the votes is 91 years. So they elected, the person counted, then he got tired. Then said, let me first take a holiday. I'll come back and continue what? Counting. Then came back and continued counting. And of course, the incumbent won. Because it's a system. They know. You can do your things. They have their system. And the person who was announcing the person as the winner is 94 years. And over the Chief Justice is over 89. The teenager among them is 77. And they are there. And that's a country with an average, a median age of 18. All the guys came. But you know, this world is so it is. Now, but the people get tired after some time. And they want a person. Anyway, let's leave politics and go back to what? But the purpose of me telling you this is, people create the system, then they get bored of it because it becomes oppressive. Systems always become oppressive because they don't have a face. They are faceless. They will remove somebody and put another. So you'd rather know we are fighting this guy. He's the enemy. But now imagine you remove him and get another one, another, and it's the same thing. That's terrible. That's what is in Europe. Complete system run. And they are so angry when you have somebody who comes and takes on the responsibility about himself. You've seen the people who love systems calling Trump a king. No kings. We don't want kings. No, the man was elected. There is no king. But because they would rather somebody who you don't know who is making decisions. But somehow decisions are being made. But now you know we can blame this person or we can credit them. And now that's God's way of doing things. And that's how Now, when God is building something, when men build something, they start wanting to build systems. But I'm telling you that the Lord told me something. One morning, I woke up and I just went into my closet to pray. And I had something bothering me, you know? And then the Lord told me something which was very helpful. He just told me in very simple words that unless the Lord builds, those that build, build in vain. That's in Psalms 127, verse 1. I spoke about it at partnership this week. Those that build, build in vain, unless the Lord builds the house. Now, people build houses. You see, it doesn't say the house cannot be built unless the Lord builds it. It says it is built, but those that build, build it in vain. In other words, it's not going to stand. It does not stand a long time. It does not stand the test of time. So you build and there's an effort and you're trying to put something together. And then you try to pull it together and you're working so hard to keep it together and in one place. And you're building and you're building and you're building. And then it just dissipates one morning, poof, like that. And then tells me, unless the Lord builds. Because when something is built by men, by effort, by hard work, it will give glory to whoever it is that built it. And now, for the most part, most of us want to build something and ask God to come and bless it. That's how almost all of us operate. You want to build your business and you have your ideas and you want to build it. And then you want God to come at the level of come and now bless this. And you might get somewhere with that way of thinking. If you're a tither and a giver, you'll rise to the top of the hustlers, but you'll be a hustler. But you'll be the number one what? Hustler. Because you somehow rise on top because of that. And so on. But then, there is where you God builds it himself. And you're just somebody who is being, basically being used. And he will build it. And when he builds it himself, it gives glory to him. All the systems that are built, systems of the Antichrist, they can never, I'm telling you, for anything to take root, let's say this financial system, you want to become rich and extremely prosperous in this financial system. You cannot. The system was built to keep certain people in place. It cannot be used to do anything else. Because the people who built it for that reason. Now you think you're going to come and phew. No. What God does is he comes and builds his own parallel system. And that parallel system will take over this other system. And now that one will always give glory to him. And he builds it himself. And he will use one person who will cooperate with him. He will get one person and say, now let's build our own thing. And then he does his thing. And the purpose is not to take over the other one. No, their purpose is to replace it. You see, everything is about exchange, total replacing. Replacing what was there. It's so different. It's the difference between religion and salvation. Religion seeks to make a human being better. They want it to become better. To improve on the human being. But that's not what God does. God says the person has to be born again. There is nothing to improve in your Adam state. There is nothing there of any good. So you have to be born again. So it is a total, it's different because they can give you all the rules in the world to try and make you a better person. You will not be. You will still remain Adam in nature. Now for Christ's nature to take over, there has to be a total replacement. Now that's the same thing with these systems of the world. Now we have been somehow, and I know myself because where you get to a point where you are deceived that you are going to ascend to the top of something with the systems that exist there. It is not possible. God has to first build his, which he's doing. And it is you see, eh? Now, because the system is, so he builds the person, then he just gets the person and puts them, poof, like that. Just like that, and says, that's the person. Now, anybody who hits against you falls the other side. Because the arm of God is on you. Praise the Lord. So he told me, unless the Lord builds the house. Now, we've been involved in building houses. Praise the Lord, haven't we? I mean, God knows how many houses I've tried to build. But by houses, I don't mean houses. You see, eh? Yeah. You try this, it doesn't work. You try this car business, it doesn't work. This one comes and what, it doesn't work. Then you try this, it doesn't work. And then after so many years of trying and trying and trying, you realize the things which you had God's assurance that he has said, those are the ones which stand. The others you built in vain. And you get to a certain place and then bam, it collapses. And then you build and go to a certain place, then bam, it collapses. You know what I'm talking about. And you try so many things where you've had an effort. And there's a lot of effort and trying and this and... And you know, and there are people who are lazy, but there are people who are hardworking, who will set their mind to do something and set out to do it. And they will build something, but the Lord is not building it. And so it will be in vain. Now, Jesus said in Matthew 7, that those who listen to my word and, you know, do it, he said, I'll compare them to those who build upon this rock. Then he also talked about those who build upon what? The sand. But remember what he said. He said, they built upon the sand, and when the wind and the storms came, he did not say if, it said when they come, because they will come. The things which were built by God stay. They are not shaken. Those which were built by effort come down. Now I'm seeing what's happening in Tanzania. After that system which has been in place since 1961, just people wake up and take to the streets. They switch off social media, switch off what? But the next thing I'm seeing, the president has fled and what? There are systems which can last for so long, which men have built. But at some stage, they are built in vain. They come down. And now is the time for all those things which God did not build to come down. And they are coming down. And they are coming down, they are coming down. And I'm seeing it across the world. Systems which were untouchable, even in Europe, which have been built over decades, all of them being crumbling slowly and coming down. And now is the time of Matthew 15, where it says that every plant that my heavenly Father did not build, plant will be what? Uprooted. The time is now. Praise the Lord. And then there are those who are being planted by the Lord here. And he's planting you. And somehow you crop up. And now you cannot be uprooted. Those systems are corrupt. So now when the Lord told me this, I sat down and actually, you see. So anyway, when all those systems that have been built over a period of time, and people are so proud of them, and people are hiding under them. The days of Nebuchadnezzar, you see, everything happening, you can trace it back to Daniel. That book is the encapsulation of the end time, that book. Remember that dream where it says, you, Nebuchadnezzar, that big tree, which every all the birds of the air and what? Then he says, I saw the watchers coming and what? Chopping it, and it fell down. Now that is it. Because where was there a system like Nebuchadnezzar's? Very wealthy, very expansive, 129 provinces, so powerful, that covered almost all of Europe, almost all of Asia. But then, it was chopped down by the watchers. And that was the end of Babylon as a city. And it was even, in as much as the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven, I even said watchers, just one. That means like a king. Chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave its stump and roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze in the tender grass of the field. Now, this system, the reason this system is cut down and it stays there, forget about the rest of the story, is at the end of the years, the Antichrist will come and this thing will try to rebuild that system which was chopped down by the watchers. But then, now all these systems you're seeing, I'm telling you they are crumbling, and I'm seeing how they are crumbling, and I've been, by the revelation of God, getting a bit of how all this suddenly seems to be working together. Okay? Everything seems to be working together. Now you look at, for instance, Africa, the only two countries that have had total stability since independence, Cameroon and Tanzania, are the ones now in turmoil. Cameroon, the only one which has never had any civil war, they're the ones now in turmoil. Then you realize that systems are tumbling. Slowly but surely, there was one in Madagascar, system, very strong. It tumbled recently and came down, whew, crashing. And now you will see that if people do not go and hide under the grace of God, systems in all other countries, many other countries are going to tumble, and they are tumbling. And I got to know a few days ago that there was a system which also tumbled, which is closer to home. But you see, it tumbles, but you see it later. And at the time you think it is strong. Now, here is how these things work. At that time when it seems very strong, that's when it's at its weakest. Just like it was here in this prophecy of Daniel. You go from where Daniel starts the interpretation of the dream. Go to verse 19. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for a time, and his thoughts troubled him. So the king spoke and said, Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its interpretation trouble you. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, may the dream concern those who hate you, and its interpretation concern your enemies. The tree that you saw, which grew and became strong, whose height reached the heavens, and which could be seen by all the earth, whose leaves were lovely and its fruit abundant, in which was food for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and in whose branches the birds of the heaven had their home. It is you, O king. You see the way Daniel went in details to explain how glorious the thing is. This wonderful tree, everybody, the leaves were wonderful. In other words, at the peak of Nebuchadnezzar's power, he says, that's the end of it. That's how it always works. And that is how it is. There will be empires which appear to be so strong, and yet they are so brittle, and on the verge of something big happening. Praise the Lord. And it is happening. It is what? And God has been building his thing, only you will not see it. It is inside your heart. Amen? Yeah. It is inside your heart. Business empires, which have been powerful, and you think this is tycoon, what? It just withers away. As simple as that. Which is like the tree of Nebuchadnezzar. And the watcher, one watcher. Those are angels, of course, you know. An angel comes and just chops it and falls to nothing. So that's how it works. And that's how it has always worked. And I'm telling you that in times like this, I want beware to know that what you are building is of God. Because unless the Lord builds it, those who build it in what? In vain. And he builds, and he can choose you to build something around you. Eh? Because there are people whom I know who have dreams, and there is no way you can build it yourself. You don't have that capacity. But he's not looking at your capacity. He never has. But you just have to move step by step, and then the Lord will build something around you, which is so powerful, and it cannot be removed. It cannot be shaken. And now everything around it which the Lord has not built is shaken and is removed. And you replace it. It's just a pure, complete replacement. Something totally different from what, praise the Lord. So now this is what we are witnessing in this time period. And it's interesting because now men will realize that God does not work the way they want him to work. He works in anointings. And anointings are placed on people. And those people always have weaknesses. Always have weaknesses. They are never perfect people. There are people whose weaknesses actually sometimes are so evident. And God does it in such a way that you know this is not that person. There is nothing special about that person. It has to be the anointing of God. And then that's what makes you know that, no, this is God. It is not you. Okay? I remember one preacher saying that his mother, he has built this wonderful, powerful ministry. Yeah? Andrew Mark. And he said that his mother told him that, Andrew, this is God, it's not you. I know you very well. You're fake, you cannot do this. And now that's what gives God glory. Because he himself is saying it, your own mother. Because your mother is a person who would be motivated to say, man, I know you. I've always known you are such a, you know, great person. But your own mother says, no, this is God, it's not you. I know you so well, you cannot have done this. And that's how God operates. Now, that's how you know it is God. And he himself said that somebody told him that he's such a boring speaker, that he's as plain as that. Now, you see, the world has its ways. It wants, eh? You have to be talking like T.D. Jakes. What? But then God builds his thing around somebody who, everybody who sees it knows that what? This is God. And you have to accept it is God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So now God is in the business of building what? Something in our lives. Eh? And it will not be shaken. And we have also been building. But let me tell you this as I end. For the most part, and the Lord showed me this also, for God to build his thing, for the most part, he has to wait for you to exhaust yourself. Because when he starts building, you'll stand in his way. You see? Eh? So he starts building something, and you still, because you have some wisdom which you know this is how it's supposed to be done, he's pulling in this direction, you're pulling in the opposite direction. So usually what he does is he lets you go and you do your things. Then you go and hit one wall after the other, then you come down humble after you've been frustrated. Then he says, now are you ready for us to work together? Now you've exhausted all your earthly wisdom. Now you're ready to receive his. And that's how he builds his thing. So, because if he started it from the beginning, you would not let him. He would say, I want you to do this. You say, no. This is how it is done. And you see now our language, this local language, there's even, people even say, and then you ask Bani. Because you see, you're not supposed to what? And you're catapulting the wisdom of the world on God. So he says, you first do what? You first go with yours. Let's see how far that takes you. Then you go, you build your business, you hit a loss. You build what? You hammer, hit a wall. What? You come down. And it's by his grace, he lets you suffer all that loss. Until now, you are completely humble and you're ready to do it his way. And in a short time, he lifts you up. And like, he could have done that 10 years ago, but you would have been a hindrance. You yourself would have been a hindrance. So he let you go. So now that's what usually happens. So now, to cut short that time, you come to the end of your earthly wisdom very fast. And say, you know what, let me humble myself. The scripture says, judge yourself so that you're not judged. Let me humble myself so that I am not humbled. Humble myself and say, I don't know anything. I'm going to do it what? God's way. Then you start from there. That's so difficult. Because your mind still tells you, if you do this, it's going to work. If you do this, even you see, the other guy did this and it worked. Even this person attempted this and it worked. This one did not work. So your mind is telling you something. And God is telling you, no. You want to build it for yourself and that will be for your glory. If you let me build it myself, that it is for my glory. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, that's why sometimes you need a humiliation. Eh? Okay, not humiliation. That's not a good word. But that's it. Eh? A humbling. And man, I like you hit, you suffer the loss of so many things as God waits for you to get to that place where you say, okay, now I allow. Your wisdom is greater than mine. Amen? Do you know that you need... That should be obvious, but it is not. Because the human mind is so, you know, obstinate. We are not easy people, by the way. The mercies of God are the reasons he uses us, but we are not easy people. You know, we are stiff-necked, as he said, the children of Israel. We are stiff-necked because, like, and that is, you think it's the children of Israel. All of us, like, you have to first hit one. You see, people have to first die in the wilderness. Then the children say, okay, now let us accept. We go and fight. We enter the promised land. That's how it is. It shouldn't be, but that's how it is. Most part. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So don't wait for circumstances to humble you. You can humble yourself before the wisdom of God. Amen. I've finished. Yes. There is the other lady of what? The girl whose mother was sick. Did you bring a picture? I asked her to bring a picture. Where is she? Did she come? She didn't. You see, this thing here, which we do, of praying for the sick like this, is the easiest way of getting people healed without using their faith. Because they don't have any. Because healing has not been taught in the church in these years. But I'm telling you, I'd better go and start listening to healing messages. Because back to basics. Like, because today, a man of God called me. He's sick. He has an issue. He has to go to somewhere abroad for treatment. They asked him for 300 million. That's not an easy. But you see, if I told you every day to listen to just 15 minutes every day of healing messages, just when you're not sick, when you're healthy, just 15 minutes every day. In 2 months, when you fall sick, you'll have the faith to be healed. Because faith comes by what? By hearing. But if you've not had it, now there's even no way I could minister to him. 300 million, come and we pray for you. Because you see, it says faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, if somebody doesn't have any hope, they can't have faith. The first thing is hope. Now, at least if you're here and you get sick, you have hope. You might not have the faith to get healed, but you have what? Hope. So we can build on that hope and turn hope into faith. But now if there is no hope now. So I felt sad for him. 300 million. And of course, there is no guarantee he's going to be. Praise the Lord. And now there is something I could just tell him to do if I wish I could. But he would think it's because I don't want to contribute towards his hospital bill. Amen? You see, if you got a recorder like this and started playing the Bible, especially from New Testament, the Gospels, and you just slept on it and woke up on it, as you're doing other things, even when you're doing other things, you go to sleep, you sleep on it. There is no way you can be sick in 1 month. 1 month. Okay, if you are very badly off 2 months, but you don't stop anything that you've been doing before. If you're breastfeeding your child, if you're looking after your child, if you're changing them, just let it play in the background. And play and play and play. Just that. Even for unconscious people. Somebody is unconscious. You play the word. They will come out of that thing. we are never taught the power that is in the word of the Creator. Now, if I told him that, just play the scriptures, as you look for the 300 million, and as we look around for 300 million, play the scriptures, he would be offended. Because the church does not teach baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it does not teach healing any longer. It does not. And I don't know why. And yet the sacrifice of Jesus covered healing just as much as it covered salvation of our souls. It is the same package. So when you're saved, there is no reason why you should be what? But if you are, there is a way out. And that is just by faith, comes by what? Hearing. And the beauty is that you don't stop what you're doing. In your car, you put the CD to play. And you, as you drive, imagine if you had a trip, let's say you are driving to Mbarara, and you started playing scripture from beginning of your journey. Before even you leave Kampala Jam, your spirit is already ready to receive. Before you even hit the highway, by the time you pass Chengira, your spirit is what? You see, those are all things which are within our ability to do, but we don't do them. Just hearing. Hearing comes by what? Hearing. Just hearing. So you put it in your car, you drive. And move. You're waiting somewhere, you know. It might not look so good for you to have. I don't know. But you put headsets and what? And listen to those words there you see in the scripture. Especially the words of, I don't want the Bible which is done by AI. Eh? There are those which were done by human beings. Eh? The audio Bible which was done by human beings. And you just play that and continuously play that. You don't know how it is going to transform your life in a short time. And it will. Some of you can read books. I told you the other time, I was reading 2 Timothy, and Paul says that bring those books which I left there. And I was wondering, what books was Paul reading? So I also decided to revive my habit of reading books. Yeah? 2 Timothy 4, what? 13. Books and parchments. So I said, now this man here who wrote all the, what? 2/3 of the New Testament. But also he had books. Bring the cloak that I left with Cephas and the books, especially the parchments. And I'm saying, what books were Paul reading? So also he had authors whom he would read. And you move with them. He moves with them. So I realized that I recovered my app. Now these days I also have books in my car, which I move with. And I, when I'm bored, seated somewhere having my coffee, I also what? Because that time can be wasted when you're thinking about Arsenal and what. But you can just read a chapter in a book. And that will transform you some, you know, of somebody. And I realized all people used to do those things. I was listening one day to a message of Kenneth Hagin, and he said he had a boot. He would move to go and preach with a boot. His boot would be full of books about healing. So he was an expert. So the man tells you in 66 years, I've never even had a headache. It's because that's all the knowledge he has in his head. I've not as much had a headache in 66 years. That's what you'd say. And like, you know, you like, you, it gets a part of you that you do not ever want to even hear that, sir. Like, I'm saying it can get a part. You don't even want to hear that somebody is sick. Like, it is anathema sick. How? That's the guy who said that his father-in-law something got sick. The man was old. He was dying. Then he prayed for him. Then the guy said, "Ah, man, leave me, let me go home." See, the man who has served God, he's born again. He's tired of the earth. Then the guy said, "No, first wait. You first get healed. Then if you want to die, you can die afterwards. But our reputation is at stake if you die of sickness." So now, then he said that God does not say Abraham got sick and died. He did not get sick. People die, but they don't get sick. Now he himself, he said, he died when he was at. He called his family, all his children, grandchildren, and what, and sat to have dinner to say farewell to them. Then in the middle of the dinner, he just switched off. Very healthy. Used to eat ice cream, pork. Those were his favorite what? The man who did, okay, it was not good for his weight, but he was healthy. His stomach was up to there, which I also don't want, but he was healthy. He was not sick. Praise the Lord. So if you eat ice cream, you won't have a six pack. But if you're reading the books of health, you'll be anyway. So anybody sick? Nobody. Yeah? But I'm cautioning all of you, go and listen to messages of healing. All of you. Read books on healing. When you are not sick, don't wait to get sick. Amen? Hey, people have discovered that they are not well. What is wrong? Haven't you prayed for it before?
No.
And you, huh?
I have something. I don't know whether it is spiritual. That always takes my senses. Like, I can doze at any time.
Okay. Now I rebuke that spirit. You spirit, I command you to question him. Eh?
Adebo Jennifer.
Jennifer. You spirit, I command you to come out of Jennifer right now in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. And that cloud of oppression flees away from you in the name of Jesus right now. And now that, receive it. Receive it. Say amen. Receive it.
Amen.
When did it start?
I grew up when it was on me. When I was still young.
Okay, in the name of Jesus, I decree in the name of Jesus that any demonic ritual that was performed with you as a subject, over you and with you as a subject, I cancel all its effect upon your life in Jesus' name. And whatever words have been spoken about you, in form of divination, in the name of Jesus, by elder people in your life, I render them powerless over your life in the name of Jesus. And all rituals, even from your childhood, in the name of Jesus, I cancel their effect on your life in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, because there is. Because there is somebody who decreed something upon you. You are not going to amount to anything. You're going to, you know. And this is somebody who is like an elderly person. And now, anyway, we are breaking that. Did you know that? No, you know. Maybe when you were young. And from your family. But anyway, it is broken in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. And flees off you right now. And the effects of it go. And now from this day onwards, you're going to be strong. And you're not going to be weak. Say amen.
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 It's done. In Jesus' name. Okay, receive your healing. Say amen. You ourselves, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. What's your name?
Morena. Morena.
Morena. You ourselves, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I command you to come out of Morena's stomach, and of her body, in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I command you ourselves to dry up right now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, did we pray for you last Friday? Come.
Praise God. Seems due to a lot of medication now, ulcers again are killing me too.
What was the issue last time?
As the last time, I'm dead. We've been praying every Friday for the other wound, which I was not going to the church, but now it is now aware. But the issue is ulcers too much.
So now you're going well properly?
Yeah.
Okay.
But ulcers is too much. And even another issue, I want you to pray for me. When I was in the process of all the time going in the hospital, I went to Manerenda and I got 300,000. Yes, I paid 20,000. Now the rest is 208. Not yet paid, but the money lender is also on my neck. That is like the money, not beyond sand, and I've not yet begun back to work because I sell bananas.
You're okay.
But I pray to God, the one you've been talking to us, that let our face heal us.
Okay, let's pray for the ulcers.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. She needs 300,000. The money lender is on her case.
280, because I paid
280. 20. She paid 20. Who is volunteering to give it to her here? You already have it. Come and I pray for a blessing. This is what we want. So you're giving it to her today. Yeah. God bless you. Yeah. Okay. Now let's pray for the ulcers. Stand. Okay. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke you ulcers. I speak to you in the name of Jesus, and I command you to come out. What's your name?
Tivenda Susan.
I command you ulcers to come out of Susan. Dry out. Dry up now. Right now. Right now, you ulcers, I command you to dry up right now in the name of Jesus and come out of Susan in Jesus' name. And I decree that your ulcers are dry and there is no more pain in your stomach in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay. God bless you.
That was the Watchman Joseph Kabuleta. Join us for our Friday fellowship starting at 6 p.m. at the Watchman Grounds opposite Mukwaya Hospital near the American Embassy along the main Gabon Road. To connect to the anointing upon the Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on Facebook, The Watchman, TikTok, The Watchman Ministries, YouTube, Ugandan Watchman, X at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, or email info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on how to give resources and more, visit our website at UGWatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.